a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The South Dakota Senate Transportation Committee will come to order. Will the Secretary please call the roll?
Senators Krebs?
Here.
Lucas?
Here.
Monroe?
Here.
Amdahl?
Here.
Otten?
Here.
Ewing?
Here.
Valley?
Here.
All present?
We have a quorum. Out of courtesy to the people on the internet, to the people in the audience, and to the legislators that are here, please turn off your cell phones, and either that or put them on vibrate. Thank you. With that, I would like to welcome everyone to the Senate Transportation Committee, especially those that are on the internet. You'll hear some chuckling, but we won't mention anything what another chairman said on the internet yesterday in another committee. There are times when we all are speaking that we misspeak and we catch ourselves in the middle of it. So, any rate, the minutes have been provided to you in your black books or on the internet, whichever you are using, and the chair would entertain a motion on those minutes unless there are some corrections. Been moved by Senator Monroe and seconded by Senator Lucas. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Minutes are approved as written. We have a page here this morning. And if you do have something to hand out, please give it to a page, and she will distribute it behind the desk. Also, please remember to sign in at the podium. And now that we do have a page here, would you like to step to the microphone there behind Senator Krebs and tell us what you plan on doing with the rest of your life after you leave the legislature here?
After I graduate high school, I'm attending SDSU. I'm double majoring in animal science and pre-veterinary. I'm having a minor in military science, and I'm joining the ROTC.
Okay. We won't monkey with you. Thank you very much. I'm going to take the bills in the order that they are printed, and unless somebody has something else this morning, we will open up public testimony on House Bill 1042, a bill to authorize manufactured home dealers to submit license fees directly to the Department of Revenue and to provide an electronic renewal notice. Director Hilmer, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Deb Hilmer. I'm the director of the Division of Motor Vehicles, and we bring this bill to you as another efficiency that we are working on with electronic filing. Currently, right now, the law requires that manufactured home dealers submit their payments directly to the county treasurers. We're looking at a way to expedite that renewal process for them to be able to do it online and pay online. Currently today, we can provide them the renewal notice online, but we have no payment process, and we are in the process of working on that now. So all this bill does is allow for them to pay directly to the department and do it in electronic means. So we'd appreciate your support on this bill. Thank you.
Any other proponents to this bill? Further proponents? Timely walking through the door.
No, I had instructions to be here, and I'm just getting here. I apologize.
That's fine. Welcome.
Thank you. Bob Ryder. I represent the South Dakota Manufactured Housing Association, and we've appreciated the opportunity to work with Deb and her staff relative to what was occurring in this bill, and we support the effort of the bill, and we support and we appreciate, as I mentioned, her allowing us to provide some input on this. So we think it's a good bill, and we hope you could support it.
Thank you. Other proponents of House Bill 1042? Other proponents of House Bill 1042? I think at this point we'll even take opponents. Are there any opponents of House Bill 1042. Opponents of House Bill 1042. Last call for opponents. Well, we do not need a rebuttal, so we will open it up to questions by the committee. Senator Amdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess this is for, Deb. This has got to relieve some of the paperwork for the county, doesn't it? I mean, I'm just thinking on that aspect. Have you got a direct aspect of it?
Mr. Chairman, if I may. Senator Amdahl, yes, it will. And it really expedites it for the dealers that we're working with as well. So we're really looking to, and it doesn't affect the counties at all. They still get the money from the license fees like they would today. But we're just looking for better ways or easier ways for consumers and industry to do business with us. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? I have one. What happens to the paper stuff? Is that gone, or I can still do it by paper? If you could just kind of relate to me.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, we do still have a paper process for about 100 of our dealers, but if you remember right, probably back in, probably the mid-2000, we implemented an electronic process for our dealers, and which is mandatory that they participate unless they're specifically exempted. That exemption is for those that sell less than 15 vehicles a year.
Okay.
And otherwise, we do pretty much electronic for everybody. And quite honestly, it's worked out very well. We've had a great working relationship with the industry in doing that, not just in the manufactured home, but also in the vehicle industry, new and used in processing those titles applications. They have entered over hundreds of thousands. I think it's up to probably 800,000 titles since we implemented that. So it's been very positive.
As a follow-up to that, how many have you gotten that are paper? Just as a, you don't have to know the exact number, but I'm just wondering.
There's about, Mr. Chairman, there's about 100 that are non-paper.
And do they have a lot of?
No.
They don't. It's a small business for them, and so they just.
Yes.
Don't, okay.
They're really not probably. They do it for purposes maybe other than actually being in the business of selling vehicles. They might have small trailer dealerships of some sort, specialty type dealer or trailers or something. But no, we don't have very many that are under the radar. So,
all right, thank you. Further questions by the committee? There are no further questions. We will close it to public testimony and open it up for committee discussion and or action. Senator Ewing.
Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion for due pass on this.
Senator Ewing has moved due pass. Is there a second? Second by Senator Amdahl. Discussion on that motion.
I think it's a good bill.
Anyone else? Any discussion? There's no discussion. We will move to voting. Those in favor of House Bill 1042 will say aye. Those opposed say nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senators. Krebs?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Amdahl?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Nice.
House Bill 1042 has received a unanimous vote of the Transportation Committee and will go to the floor on the debate calendar. Senator Lucas has moved consent. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Krebs. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1042 will move to the floor on the consent calendar. Thank you, committee. We will now move to House Bill 1043, which is a bill to authorize the Department of Revenue to establish an electronic title system for motor vehicles and to revise the electronic lien filing system. I believe we have Director Hilmer again. Would you introduce yourself to the committee again?
Yes, I will, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Deborah Hilmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. It seems like I have a lot of electronic stuff going on, doesn't it? You guys are probably thinking, what are they doing? Not trying to write myself out of a job, maybe, but as you know, I am getting closer to retirement, so I'm trying to get some things in order before I do leave. So I want to talk to this bill in a couple of different forms. I'd like to talk a little bit about what we've done in the last year with this, and then I'd like to talk about it from where we're moving in the future. This bill really does authorize the department to establish an electronic title system for motor vehicles, and it revises current provisions regarding electronic lien filing system. In October of this last year, the department implemented an electronic lien filing system. Under this system, if a lien is noted on the title application, an electronic record is created, and we do not produce the paper. The lien holder, who is a participant in an electronic lien system with a provider, we have five providers that we have worked with, that they receive electronic messages from us when the lien is noted, and then they get the electronic record as well. And then no paper is issued until the lien is paid off or if the customer moves out of state. So it really creates the electronic environment for our title documents. The department also provides in the electronic lien filing system for those lien holders who do not utilize a provider a means by which to verify if a lien has been noted on the record. This is done through our sdcars.org website. And anyone can go into that website, put in their VIN number, and it will bring back if there is a it will bring back the record with information as to whether or not there's a lien, damages on there. Doesn't give the owner's name and address because that's considered confidential information. But it does give the vehicle information on that SDCars.org website. Since October of 2012, the department has created over 27,000 electronic records. We have over 457 of the 900 lien holders that are participating through a provider, so we have pretty much more than half of our lenders are participating through one of our five providers, and we have more coming on every day as they see the value of receiving and doing electronic. This also allows them to release their liens electronically. So if the lien gets paid off by a dealer, you go to trade your car in and that dealer pays that lien off, all that notification comes through an electronic means. Once that lien is released on our system, then we create a paper document that night and mail it out the following day. The lien holder has the option to tell us where to mail it to. So if the lien is paid off by the dealer, then the lien holder can indicate that we should mail the title to the dealer for further processing, because it's at that point that you have to do the odometer disclosure and some of that information. House Bill 1043 really does two things, and Section 1 of the bill really allows the department to further explore the concept of electronic titles for all vehicles. In my presentation to the Transportation Committee, I talked a little bit about the project, the proof of concept project that I'm chairing for the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators, and it's really a national electronic title proof of concept. And if I could get the page, I would like to hand out. I didn't bring the entire document for what we're doing, but I did bring with me the flow chart of the proof of concept and kind of what we're looking at doing. When you start talking about electronic titles, and I'm sure you're all sitting there going, oh my gosh, what are they doing? But when you start thinking about that, it's so huge, and there's so many different types of transactions and different criteria when you're doing some of this, it just gets sometimes overwhelming where you think you can't do it. So as part of the working group, I went to our AMBA board of directors and presented to them the concept of doing a proof of concept, a pilot for a proof of concept from birth, from the manufacturer level, cleanest transaction we could possibly get, from the manufacturer to the dealer to the first retail purchaser. And to do definite data definitions, I mean, the association has invested or will have invested over $750,000 to do this particular pilot. We've hired PMOs, project managers to work with us, and we're creating the opportunity for us to do a true electronic record from manufacturer to dealer to first retail purchaser. Now, these are not without challenges, trust me, because when you start talking about titling, you've got not just dealers involved, manufacturers, you've got the consumers, you've got the lenders, and you've got floor planners that we're dealing with, you've got insurance, you've got, I mean, we have probably on our committee, there's probably close to 50 people that actually are participating in this pilot. So you're trying to get input from all of these. So sometimes I at times have gotten to the point where I feel like I'm herding cats and we're all kind of trying to go in a different direction. But I have to tell you, through this project, I have not had one person indicate to me that this is not the right direction to go with this project. If you don't take a little bite of that elephant, we're never going to break this thing down. So that's why we've started with the new vehicles from manufacturer to first retail sale. And what I have provided to you is really just kind of a flow chart of the way that it will work. And it's really not creating new databases or anything. It's really connecting databases. The manufacturers currently today have electronic records of these. They send electronic records to their dealers when they invoice them. All of the new dealers are online with their manufacturers and are required to update them with the information and to make payments even electronically for their floor plans. So it goes from the manufacturer to the dealer. And you will also see at the same time that the manufacturer supplies information to NICB, which is what NICB will create, what we call the MCO file, the manufacturer certificate of origin file. So it's really the birth of the vehicle. The dealer also then gets that same information. If the dealer sells that vehicle to a consumer, then the dealer, through our system, and we've been fortunate that we have a lot of these electronic systems already in place today. The electronic lien title process was the last one, or one of the last ones. We do have one more that we're working on to fulfill this. But that was a part of this whole entire project. So the dealer will enter that sale information into the database. It's updated to the state database. We then, as a state, will hit the MCO file to verify that that is the dealer of record owner, so that we know that we don't have a stolen vehicle. We know that manufacturer sent that vehicle to dealer A, and dealer A is who we show as the record owner when we do the verification. At the same time, we will still check the National Motor Vehicle Title Information System, NMVTIS. That's just a cross-check to make sure that the vehicle did not, by any chance, get titled someplace else, and then there wasn't any brands on the vehicle. If there is a lien, we do the lien acknowledgement through our ELT process that we just implemented in October. We then also will notify the consumers. And that's the last piece of the puzzle that we're working on right now. We're creating what we call my DMV account, so that when you as a customer come in, you will access our database and you will be able to see all of your vehicle records that are tied to you. So you will have that information. If there is any transactions on your account, you will receive an electronic message. So if you have a, if you purchased a new vehicle, when the dealer puts it online, a message would be sent to you that says you have a transaction out there. You could then go out to the system. You could accept that transaction. You could accept that odometer reading, because that's part of the national, federal odometer disclosure requirements. And then you could actually transfer your plate to that vehicle and pay your taxes all online. So it's a big vision. It's not going to happen overnight. That's one of the reasons why we're doing the pilot, is to find the best business practices that we can, to identify what's the best way to do these types of transactions, for our consumers, for our dealers, for our users. And like I said, everybody has a little piece of our puzzle and pie, and they all want to have the system do those transactions or functions for them so that we can all eliminate the paper. In visiting with the manufacturers on this proof of concept, we do have Ford and GM who are participants with us, two of the largest ones. They have indicated to me that for them alone, not producing paper will save millions of dollars for them. We're also doing through this project what we call return on investment. We're doing benchmarks for what it costs us today to do these types of transactions, not only at the state level, but at the dealer level and at the manufacturer level. And then we're also then, when the pilot is complete, we'll look at what the savings are and what the changes were required to be made. We look at it as an opportunity to try to move this issue forward. You'll see us back here in the future with legislation to cement this into law once we get the procedure identified and worked out. But Section 1 of the bill, basically what you're doing is you're giving us the opportunity to participate in this particular pilot. And I have worked very closely with our New Car Dealers Association. In fact, I met with the board when they were here in town for the legislative night, talked to them about it. They're very excited. In fact, Bob Beadle's going to meet with the vice president of sales at Ford and voice his support for this project and how we're moving forward. So the second section of the bill, if I may now talk about that, really just is a cleanup of the lien statute and provides that the release of lien shall include the vehicle identification number or the title number along with the owner's name. And it's really just to facilitate an easier process. In the past, we always had the same title number. Once you had a title number on a vehicle, it stayed the same. Well, now under our new system, we change title numbers. So it's sometimes more difficult, but you always do have the VIN number and the owner's name. So we will accept either one under this. And then Section 3 of the bill basically is just a cleanup of our electronic and does clean up and specify that it's the electronic lien filing system that we're referring to in that section. And again, that was one that you back, I think, probably in 2005 or so, gave me permission to implement an electronic lien system. It really was permissive language at the time, like what we're asking for in Section 1, and that worked out very well. Didn't get it done in the time that we would have liked to have, but everything you think will go smoothly, and it takes more time than you think sometimes. So, and we have a lot of other things that we have to deal with throughout the year that we need to do. But that's basically what House Bill 1043 does, and I would truly appreciate your support of this bill. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Helmer. Further proponents of House Bill 1043? Further proponents? Mr. Ryder.
Indeed.
Please introduce yourself again.
I will. Bob Ryder. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Independent Auto Dealers. And as you understand, certainly from listening to testimony from Director Helmer this morning and on other occasions, she's not only knowledgeable and well-respected in her position, but she likewise is very inclusive. By that I mean that when there are issues that are important to her, she is in contact with groups such as she spoke to the new car dealers, and but also the South Dakota independent auto dealers who principally sell vehicles who are, have, which have been previously owned. We appreciate the effort that she is progressing with, or the department is more particularly, the division, should I say. We think this bill is a good bill, and we're looking particularly at Sections 2 and 3, which are a more direct relationship to our members. So we're here to support it, and we're here to thank her for her efforts and for remaining very willing to include the affected people in discussions prior to session involving issues of this nature, because it helps awareness and it helps our ability to react in a positive manner to issues that are important to her. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents of House Bill 1043? Other proponents? I think at this point we'll even take opponents. Are there any opponents of House Bill 1043? Any opponents? Last call for opponents. There's no need for rebuttal. We'll now move to questions by the committee. Yes, Senator Amdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question from Ms. Helmer there. What kind of a backup system do you have for this electronic system? That's my first question. The second one, if they would lose power, do you have some type of paper document to back that up?
Mr. Chairman, thank you for that question, and I should have talked a little bit about that, because that's one of the critical points of this whole project is the security of the system. And so we take that very seriously in the process that we're creating, that it is a secure and supported system with backup. Because if people do not feel that they can trust the system and the data within the system, they will not use it, and we will lose the credibility of the electronic process. So we take that very seriously in this. As a state, we have talked with our Bureau of Information and Technology. I feel comfortable they are doing the backups necessary for us. All those transactions are backed up nightly. So we can go back and recreate that information. We also then can go back to the dealers and look at their information that they entered and work with them as well to recreate some of that if we needed to. And we have in instances where documentation's not been correct or information's not been correct, work with the dealers to correct that information. So,
may I do a follow-up, Mr. Chairman? The other concern I have, you talk about this central database that will be going to all the dealers from different states. What controls do we have on that, I guess? That's my concern.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, if I may, it's really not the only dealers that will access our information will be our South Dakota dealers that we license and have bonded and control or have the working relationships with. Other states will create something similar within their databases. The exchange of information will come from state to state. So we really think that opportunity creates a better secure process for us, because then we're really not creating a national database of this information. It's really connecting the states together. When I talk about the National Motor Vehicle Title Information System, the only thing that's in there is the VIN number, the brands, and the odometers. And it's really a mechanism. It was developed by the Department of Justice. And AMVA, our association, is merely the operator of that. And it really doesn't contain any personal information from you. That stays at the jurisdiction of where it's titled. What's in there is the brand and the damage information and odometer. And that is so that you as a consumer can go out to, and I think I talked about this maybe at our, when I did our presentation, you can go out to a website called vehiclehistory.gov, and you can put in a VIN number, and it'll actually tell you the brands and the odometer readings on some of those. So, It really gives consumers an opportunity to look for vehicles that come from areas that have hurricanes and flooding and, you know, things like that that you may want to be aware of if you're purchasing a vehicle that's coming from one of those areas. So you might want to go back and look at that. So that's, but we do, I do think that we have really taken that part of security seriously in the development of this. And that is why we truly want to do the pilot, is to make sure that we do. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This question is for Ms. Hillmore. Just to clarify even further this concept, the e-titling proof of concept, the SouthDakotaCars.org that you have, then other states must have very similar, what would they call it?
Data.
Programs. Mm-hmm. And so that's, so it's Nebraska, necars.org, ndcars.org, mn.org. Okay, that's, so that's, and that's that same concept then what we're trying to do on this MOC creation. Is that correct? Using the same database?
Please.
Senator Krebs, yes, that is. I mean, it's really, it's up to the jurisdiction to have that conversation with their consumers. So however they decide to do the notifications, what we have decided is that we've already have our sdcars.org, and we really want to enhance the security of that. Currently today, you sign into that by using your driver's license and your date of birth. So what we want to do is beef up that security on that system so that you'll have a password and that you'll have, and that you will be able to go in there and actually look at your records to see what's tied to you. And some of you will be amazed because there's probably still vehicles that are tied to you that you sold many years ago. But because our records were never, our system was never notified that the title transfer was done perhaps in another jurisdiction or the car was junked out, we still show that as record. And internally, we're looking at, is there a way that we can allow you as a consumer to go in and indicate that you sold this vehicle back in, you know, 2001, and it should not be within your records, even though you may not know who you sold it to, just so that there's a documentation out there. But we have a long, long way to go with some of that, but in development of that system. But it will, each state will be responsible for working with their own consumers in this and their own dealers. We've said to them, because there's a number of states that actually have third-party vendors that actually the dealers contract with those third parties, and they do all their title encoding into the state and updating of the state database systems. We chose years ago not to do that. We chose to do our own development for our dealers, and one of the reasons we did was because we could do it much cheaper than using an outside vendor to do it. If the dealers had to go through vendors, they would pay on average probably between $10 and $15 a transaction. And our dealers currently pay 25 cents a transaction. So we're doing it to have the system support itself and to bring those benefits back to our dealers. And I think the dealers would attest to the fact that the system has brought them great benefits in being able to look into the system and see what the who owns it, if there's liens, if there's brands, what the odometer reading is. And it has brought great benefits to them as well. So. Long answer, I'm sorry.
Senator,
passionate about it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify, the pilot program, is that what you're talking about with new vehicles only for Ford and General Motors?
Mr. Chairman, yes. At this time, Senator, those are the only two manufacturers, and it deals strictly with new vehicle transactions for those. So.
Yep, and follow up.
Go ahead.
So an individual buying a vehicle, a Ford or General Motors vehicle, when would they be able then to pay the registration and excise taxes online? When would we be looking at that implementation?
Mr. Chairman, we hope to have that done at the end of the pilot or sooner. Our programmers are working on the SD Cars portal right now. They're working on it from the dealer's side, beefing up the security for our dealers a little bit, and then we'll do it for the consumers as well. And we hope to have that done before the end of the pilot, which is actually June of 2014. Is when the pilot will be completed. So.
And then one other one. You talked about the information on the lien and also proof of insurance. So will there be an avenue at some point then for the state of South Dakota to be able to check to see if people have proof of insurance?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Senator Lucas, anything's possible, I believe. So it's not part of the plan at this point. And if legislation is passed that requires us to do that, then we will definitely look at that. But it's not part of the plan for this at this time. So
I'm not going to advocate one way or the other necessarily for that. But that's been a, kind of a stumbling block for years is how do we enforce people having proof of insurance? We spot check, with the HPs, but this may be the answer down the road is the technology way to do it.
Thank you, Senator. Just as a sidebar, I had a bill on that last year, and it got defeated in Commerce, and so did Senator Peters, and her bill got defeated in Commerce. So it isn't that we aren't trying. I figured I'd give it a little weight here for a bit, and we may be back again next year. Any other questions? I have a quick one. It's a softball. How did you get involved in this? And don't make it a long answer, but tell us how you got involved in this, Ms. Helmer.
Mr. Chairman, as you know, I'm very passionate about what I do. And in my dealings with my counterparts in other states, we talk about how we can find more efficiencies within our operations. And this truly was one that we felt that we, as states, would save us large amounts of money, I believe, down the road. We today microfilm millions and millions of paper documents. And if we can eliminate any portion of that, the savings will be great for everybody, I believe, and it will expedite commerce. I got involved because of the vision, and I was the one, as you can well imagine, the voice of the group, and brought the idea to the board of directors. I've also served as chair of our board of directors at AMBA, so I have a lot of counterparts and working relationships with them, and they believe in the vision. The industry believes in the vision from every aspect. As I said, I've not had one person that we have talked to about this, either at GM, Ford, at the dealer level. Our dealers both, I know our used car dealers are chomping at the bit for us to get the pilot done so that we can move to the next step, which is the used car transactions. But I don't know if I could give you a short answer on that. It's probably just my passion for what I do.
Thank you. I just want to compliment you, Jew, on your work on this and heading up the, because I believe you do head up this group for the entire nation, and I think it says a lot for South Dakota and a lot for you, and we appreciate your work on this, and I really do. I appreciate your passion, and you've done a great job in getting the rest of the United States. I think if more people could follow South Dakota like you're leading in this aspect, we'd be a lot better off nationally, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that.
Okay, any further questions? There are no further questions. We'll close to public testimony, and we'll open it up to committee discussion and or action. Senator Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move do pass.
And move do pass by Senator Lucas, seconded by Senator Otten. Is there a discussion on that motion?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I do believe this follows the mission of Governor Dugard of being online rather than in line, and that's going to help us be able to take care of our vehicle registration and taxes more easily at home. It's a benefit for me because I have to drive 42 miles to go to the county courthouse, and some people in here may have to drive further to their county courthouses. I do think down the road we'll have to add in, like you say, used transactions and also private sales, but we might have to have some training with their county treasurers, too, so that they're understanding how this, because they may have to enter some of that information there in regard to private sales. But nonetheless, individuals being able to use online information to find out about a vehicle that they're purchasing. And I did bring up sdcars.org, and this looks like there's a wealth of information there that one can access, even on tips on how to buy a used car. But I fully support this, and I don't think we'll have a problem passing it on the floor.
Thank you. Any other comments? If there are no further comments, it's been moved and seconded. The secretary will call the rolls. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Senators Krebs?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Amdahl?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye. House Bill 1043 has received a unanimous vote of the Senate Transportation Committee and will go to the debate floor on the calendar. Senator Ewing.
Mr. Chairman, motion to put on the consent.
It's been moved by Senator Ewing to put it on the consent calendar, seconded by Senator Krebs. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We'll go to the floor on the consent calendar. At this point, we'll open it up to Senate Bill 170. Proponents of Senate Bill 170. Senator Adelstein, welcome back to the Senate Transportation Committee.
I hope nobody else hears that. In my hearing aid.
Welcome. Please identify yourself and
proceed. This has been
back
good morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, after considerable discussion...
Would you identify yourself?
I'm Stanford Adelstein, Senator from District 32 in the beautiful Black Hills, where I hear we're still getting some snow in the northern hills, I hope. Mr. Chairman, after discussion with the department... I would like to ask that if there are any other proponents that have driven into the town, that they may be heard. If none or after they've been heard, I would appreciate, I would move to table this bill inasmuch as the department has agreed essentially that they are already, for the most part, following the requests that are the decisions that are in the bill. And as a consequence, there's no reason to make a mandatory law for what is being done, understanding the problems some of our citizens have. So if I may, Mr. Chairman, I'll step aside. And if there are any other proponents from out of town, I would like the department and the committee to hear them. And then if you would move the table. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Are there other proponents of Senate Bill 170? Other proponents. Representative Olson, would you introduce yourself to the committee?
Yes, I will. Representative Betty Olson from District 28, and I did drive in from a long ways, but it was a few days ago, and I just came to put a me too on this. So,
thank you, Representative. Any further proponents of Senate Bill 170? If there are not, is there anything else you wanted to say, Senator?
No, thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
All right. The sponsor of the bill has requested that we move to table Senate Bill 170, and House sponsor has concurred in that, as what we just heard from Senator or from Representative Olson. So we will move to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move to table House Senate Bill 170.
Senator Krebs has moved to
No.
Okay.
I'm going to table it, please.
Been moved to table. Is there a second? It's been seconded by Senator Otten. Otten, Amdahl, sorry about that, to send this or to table House Bill or Senate Bill 170. That's a non-debatable motion, so the secretary will call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Senators Krebs?
Aye.
Lucas?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Amdahl?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Seven ayes.
Senate Bill 70 has been moved to the table by unanimous vote of the committee. I want to thank Senator Adelstein and Representative Olson for coming in and doing this. I always say if we can do something outside and not have to add to the laws that we already have on the books, and we can settle it, as they say, out of court, I think that's a proper way to do it, and I appreciate you both coming forward and doing that. Thank you. Is there any other business? For caucus purposes, House Bill 1042, we will give that to the Democrat caucus, to Senator Lucas, and we will give House Bill 1042 to Senator Monroe, and 1043 to Senator Ewing.
Should be quick and easy.
It should be quick and easy, unless someone pulls them from the consent calendar. All you have to do is get through caucus, and usually they're not too mean. So, with that, the chair will entertain a motion for adjournment. Been moved by Senator Krebs, seconded by Senator Otten. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.